The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. And today's date is 4/11/2022. If you want to give me a call, please do. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. I got a yawn just lurking around me, so I have to get that taken care of here in a little bit. I wonder how many people are yawning now because I just yawned. And you're thinking, no, don't make me yawn. And then you yawn. Okay. So we have five open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right. Guess what I've been working on now. I've been working on the New Apostolic Reformation. I have been going at it. And let's see. Got some books open to some stuff. I could tell you some stuff. Oh, my goodness. The New Apostolic Reformation. The more I look into it, of course, the more dangerous it is. Here's a book I've been reading, written by two women in the NAR, called The Physics of Heaven. And so, you know, I've been going through and reading some of this stuff. And you know, this woman says, in 1999, during one of my quiet times with the Lord, he mentioned the word sound. Nothing more, just the word sound. You know, I've always been suspicious, you know. Someone's talking to me, and they go, yeah, I was having a quiet time with God, and he told me, you know, that I need to go get dressed and go to the store. I'm like, wait a minute, so God told you something? Yeah. So the infinite God of the universe just started talking to you? Well, you know, it's an impression. How do you know it was God? Well, because, and I always get irked by these kind of things. When people meet God in the Bible, in the Old Testament, man, I'll tell you, they're on their knees. They're on their faces to the ground. But we have these people so casually, yeah, you know, I was talking to God last night. You already told me? Wow. And then she goes on and says, it was like God was playing a game with me. And I called this game the How Badly Do You Want It game, because it was like God was giving me a piece of a puzzle he wanted me to put together. Wow. And so in this book, you know, I've been going through stuff. I was reading it late last night until about 2:30 in the morning, maybe 3. At any rate, the Lord is ready to use sound, light, and energy in ways we never dreamed. Now, this is reminiscent of the New Age philosophy. And I've got some information from the New Age. 25, 30 years ago, I went to a couple of New Age conventions in Southern California. And I gathered just a stack of literature from different New Age booths and sources and things like that. And I three-hole punched it, and I put it in a big three-ring binder notebook, and I still have it. And it's down in the garage. What I'm going to do is go through and fan through some of the material and see if I can find things that relate to what these women are saying for the new Apostolic Reformation. I'm going to keep going with these quotes because it's interesting stuff. But if you want to give me a call, five open lines, 877-207-2276. By the way, tonight I'll be teaching on Roman Catholicism on Clubhouse. You go to Clubhouse, .com. You can download it for your phone. And you can also download something called Club Deck for your computer, at least on the PC. And I'll be in a room, the Roman Catholic Doctrine of Salvation, is it biblical or something like this? Someone set it up for me. I'll find the exact name. And I'll be teaching at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm going to go through a lot of stuff what the Roman Catholic Church teaches and expose what it is. And is Roman Catholic doctrine Christian? So that's what the title is at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and I'm going to be going through and doing some of that. I'm going to read a lot of stuff in the Catholic Church, but that's just an FYI. People want to know what I'm up to and what I'm doing. So back to the NAR stuff. All right. So these phrases in here, you know, The word from God here is a prophetic word the Lord gave me about the coming importance of sound. The Lord began showing me visions of what is to come. The coming God sound. God's sound. The sound God is going to release. I saw the greatest revival the world has ever known, filled with people clamoring to know this magnificent God of ours. I was reading through it, and let's see, there's something in here I want to share. Bill Johnson, he's a heretic, writes that we can't just camp around old truth, but should seek newly revealed truths for our generation. You know what that is? That's Mormonism. You know, or Jehovah's Witnesses. We need new truth. In other words, the Bible's good, has a lot there for us, but we need new truths, and those new truths are obtained through our visions and our dreams, and the apostles who will then tell you what God is wanting. This is a formula for disaster. Absolute disaster. It really is. And then in there it says, and then because we are exploring territory that some people fear is full of counterfeits, Jonathan Welton explains that Christians need not be afraid of being deceived by counterfeits, but should realize that whenever we see a counterfeit, we should try and discover the real behind it. Real's in quotes. I'm going to read that again. I'm like, what? This is... I couldn't believe what I was reading. I was like, are you kidding me? And then, because we are exploring territory that has some people fear, that some people fear is full of counterfeits. So this guy named Jonathan Welton explains, Christians not need to be afraid of being deceived by counterfeits. Really? So we should not be worried about being deceived by counterfeits. Wow. Instead, what we need to do is look into those counterfeits and discover the real that's behind it. And this, you know, you read stuff like this, and these two women apparently wrote this book, and this is what they quoted. And I'm just dumbfounded by the heresy that is here. It's flat-out heresy, but they have no problem with it. They have no problem with it. And they just... So, and get this. I'm going to read this. Oh, this is good. Because it's like one of those things where you go, what? This book is just a precursor to the revelation that God is going to give us when he releases a new transforming sound. In the first section, Ellen and I share our journey of discovery about light vibrations, energy, and quantum physics. Bill Johnson writes that we can't just camp around old truth, but we should seek newly revealed truth. Okay. Now, if I was teaching New Age stuff, and I've done this before, but back in 20, 25 years ago, the New Age was kind of up and coming and pretty prominent. And I was asked to speak a few times on the New Age at different places, and I did. And I had this notebook I mentioned. And what I would do is I would just randomly pick a page and start reading. And I would just say, here's, you know, what the sound is. You know, it has a sound. And I would just randomly say something. I mean, read what it was. I just read these things. I said, now watch, folks. What I'm going to do is, on the spot, I'm going to make stuff up. And, you know, I would just say something like in context, what we're talking about. The quantum physics revelation of how energy is displayed on that level and is affected by our consciousness means that the sound that we utter will have that effect in the quantum realm. I just made that up. Just now, I made it up. And it would have fitted perfectly inside New Age philosophy. But it would also fit in this book. Now, that's a problem. I mean, you could make things up, and you could make it sound like it. You know, Ellen and I share our journey in this book. Share our journey of discovery about sound, light, vibrations, energy, and quantum physics. This is so typical of New Age speak, how they talk. Oh, man. So it's a lot of problems here, a lot of problems. I got to deal with a lot of stuff. And Anyway, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Janet from Raleigh, North Carolina. Janet, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt. I just have a simple question. I'm just kind of curious, whatever happened to the Israel trip? Did you guys end up not going or something?
Yes, we ended up not going because they were requiring COVID vaccines. I will not take it. I don't trust it.
Oh.
And so, but if you go to the CARM homepage, we have now reintroduced the 2023 Israel trip. And so we are going because Israel is no longer requiring a vaccine. So it's set for 2023. February. February 20th through March 4th, 2023. That's right. And
it's going to be the same trip that was planned for this year, right?
Yes, basically. Okay. Yes. Yeah. And we're going to have Joel Kramer. Joel Kramer's awesome. When I went before, Joel Kramer was there. He lives in Israel, if I remember correctly, and he's an archaeologist. And he took us on a trip, and we went to see Jericho. Now, I don't know if we're going to see that. In fact, I'll read what we're going to see, and because it's on the webpage. So we went and we stood on the fallen walls of Jericho. We stood on them.
Wow!
And then he was pointing us out. Look at that right there. Look at this right over here. Oh, it was awesome. So anyway, what we're going to do is says, come visit ancient cities, mountains, fields, coastlines. It will help you read the Bible with fresh eyes. See the house in Capernaum where Peter lived. I remember that. Walk among the ruins of ancient Jericho. That's going to be awesome. Visit the city where Paul stood trial before Felix and Festus. Wet your feet in the Jordan River. Traverse the cave-filled wilderness where David took refuge from Saul. I remember that. Hike to the cavern where the first Dead Sea Scrolls were found. Now, that means Qumran Cave 1, because we went in it. Ride a boat on the Sea of Galilee where Jesus calmed the storm, and a lot more. No vaccine required, and receive $100 off the trip if you sign up now. It's going to cost around $5,500, though. You have to get yourself to New Jersey, and once you're at New Jersey, then everything is taken care of from when you leave to when you land, except for lunches. When you go out there, and we're driving on the bus, and we go to different places, you just buy your own lunch.
So breakfast and dinner's included.
Yep. Yep. And I'm telling you, they're good. Because I went, okay? And I'll tell you, it was one of my favorite things was the meals. I remember once they had this table, must have been 6 feet long, 7 feet long, 3 feet wide, full of olives, different kinds of olives. I'm like, I had no idea. So I got olives and bread, and I'd eat them on the bus. And it was great, you know? It was a lot of fun. It really was. I'm smiling a lot.
It's a nice trip.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I really liked about it was the people that we went, you know, a bunch of Americans, right? And we would sit in the bus together, and we're all talking, and we're just having fun. It was a blast. So I'm looking forward to it. The hotels were nice. Yeah, I
that's what I'm asking about that hotel night.
Yeah, the hotels were great. And but what I really liked also was the lunches, because we were in these different places. And one place I remember was just a mom and pop thing, and it was basically nothing, and the food was great.
Good.
Then there's a time I had to get coffee in Turkey, and that was a fun experience. It's a lot of fun. Anyway,
Break.
Okay,
sounds
buddy,
like it. Yeah,
okay,
yeah, thanks so much.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, God bless. Hey folks, five open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Give me a call, we were right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. All right, why don't we get on the phones with, let's see if I can pronounce this right, Jovsi? Jovsi, if I get that right, from Utah. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hi, it's
JC. Oh, I don't, because my screen's messed up. It's messed up, so I can't read all the letters. Sorry about that. Okay,
No, you're fine. It's fine.
Oh, that's what my wife says. Thank you.
Believers.
Okay, so what do you got?
So I recently just lost my devout Mormon grandfather, beloved grandfather, and he's the first in our, him and my grandmother are the first in our pack to have, like, real loss within, like, my immediate family. And, you know, Mormons, especially in, like, rural Utah, Mormon, Brigham City, Honeyville, area where I'm from, like, we really ran close, like, growing up. And I'm just struggling with where he is right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not able to quite verbalize it in my grief. And I just, you know, I happen to have some time right now. And I just called in and I was just wondering if you wanted to have a discussion on that. Like, where Mormonism says he is, you know, he's in the top tier, married in the temple, faithful with my grandparents, you know, like, just all of those things. As far as in Mormon, him and my grandma and my grandpa cross off all the lists. Just that really kind of grandparents you see, they're in their 90s, you know, that 90s generation of Mormons that's still alive right now.
Mm-hmm. And so you want me to tell you where he is biblically, as tough as that might be?
Yeah, and maybe like, because I want to be able to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm struggling, because I should know the answer. And so just, you know, okay, there's just heaven and hell. There's only two.
Yeah.
There is a big chasm that if it's in hell, can he see me if he's in hell? And then I go back to that Lazarus, where he knew. He said, go send my brothers. And mm-hmm. Jesus says, it's written.
Right.
And so, and there's not, because before my grandpa died, he said, because he knows I'm going to hell because I denounced Joseph Smith. And it was a really sad moment.
Because
my grandpa's never really disappointed in me, except for, you know, this was a big disappointment in his life to have, like, grandchildren fall away. And that's all he ever wanted to talk about was Joseph Smith and Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he believed in Joseph Smith, that Joseph Smith and him are going to come to hell and come get me. You know, I had a bishop say that too, like, I'll come get you. I'm going to sit on the 12 tribes and, as your bishop, like, I'll come get you. You know what I mean? Like, they, so.
Right.
There's no one coming to get my grandpa, though. If he's in hell, he's in hell forever. And just, you know, like, I'm just wondering what's the point of this grief, in this grief process. And it's really tangible, and I had such peace in Mormonism. You know, it was just a bigger, better world. I had music. I had my own planet. I can go read my journals and explain, but now,
well,
I just wish I could explain it better today.
Yeah, JC, I wish I had real comforting words for you, but all I can tell you is the truth.
The real words are comforting to me. The real world are comforting. Like, the real is comforting.
Well, if he died believing in Mormonism officially, then he's in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Forever.
Mm-hmm.
There is no hope in Mormonism. I don't say that with pleasure. I don't say it to be mean. It's grief. You know, there's a human being who has denied the true living God and has entered into eternity having denied the true God. And there's no hope. Maybe your tears, maybe your broken heart will reach into the hearts of other Mormons as they hear, you know, they put their faith and their trust in Joseph Smith. And the fact is,
and Russell M. Nelson, and Russell M. Nelson,
mm-hmm.
They put their a lot of faith in him right now, too. I'm
right.
pretty shocked at the faith they put in him as opposed to Jesus.
Right. That's what cults do. They don't
and
focus
especially,
on...
yeah, my grandpa was indoctrinated into the cult, too. Like, he was completely indoctrinated, so he thought he knew Jesus.
He didn't.
My grandpa could quote, like, he thought he knew Jesus, you know, that Joseph Smith had, that this world, he full-heartedly believed that this world needed a, you know, a, what's it called, you know, the Mormons. That it needed, you know, why Mormonism is to be, because we, a restoration, it needed a restoration.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for the word. You know, my grandpa believed that this world needed a restoration and that the Mormons have it down. And, you know, here they are with like $120 billion. They're doing really well.
Yeah, the Bible asks, why do the wicked prosper? Just because someone prospers doesn't mean they're of God. And the reason cults survive is that those cults that do survive survive and flourish because they have the right combination of events that occur. They have sufficient leadership, a sufficient following, and money that can come in. And without the money, they can't increase. So they have to have a way of money to come in. And this is what happens.
So much money. So much money.
A lot of money. Right. That's right. And so Mormonism, you know, it's, I can prove Mormonism's false to the Mormons right now. And it's not an issue of an opinion. It all comes down to you either believe the Word of God, the Bible, or you don't. And it was Satan who first cast doubt on the Word of God when he said to Eve, "Did God really say?" This is the work of the enemy, to say that the Bible's been corrupted, that God's Word has not been preserved. And that's the eighth article of the Mormon Church. And so once someone believes that, then they'll believe something else. They won't listen to God, they'll listen to another shepherd. And the Bible here in 1 Timothy 6:16, and just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, I can read the Greek here. I can read it. I've had Greek in college and seminary. And there are no textual variants. This is not a thing that was added, manipulated, mistranslated. It's not the case. 1 Timothy 6:16 is speaking of God the Father, and it says, "Who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see." And Joseph Smith said he saw God the Father. It comes down to this. Joseph Smith contradicted the Word of God. Therefore, Joseph Smith is false. It is that fact, it is that truth, and it is that simple. What I have done is proven all of Mormonism false. Now, some Mormons might be saying, well, they saw God in the Old Testament. Yes, that's correct, they did, but it was never God the Father. Jesus says in John 6:46, not that any man has seen the Father, except the one, talked about himself, who's from God. He has, that's himself, seen the Father. When they were seeing God in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 3, Exodus 24, 9 through 11, Exodus 6, 2 and 3,
no,
Genesis...
No, a lot of Mormons... agree with you. A lot of Mormons too, you know, that Heavenly Mother was supposed to, there was a lot of that they were at this conference, they were going to let Heavenly Mother pray to her. You know, there's so much vibing right now with women wanting to be able to pray to their Heavenly Mother, you know,
it's
more like
idolatry.
The Catholic Church prays to Mary,
right.
You know, yes, not, but
it's just
and that got denied. And
well,
so,
look, we have a break coming up, so we're going to go to the break. Okay, JC, so.
Okay, so good to speak with you. God bless.
God bless. All right. Hey folks, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, welcome back, everyone. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I just wanted to finish up on the issue of Mormonism. I know a lot of Mormons are listening right now. And because the show goes out there in Utah and Salt Lake City area and south and north. At any rate, you have to understand something. I was never a Mormon, and a Mormon didn't beat me up, and now I have this thing against Mormonism. It's never been like that. For the most part, Mormons have been very, very polite, very nice. Only one Mormon wasn't, but that doesn't represent Mormonism any more than one bad Christian represents Christianity. But the thing is that Jesus says in Matthew 24:24, in the last days, many false Christs and false prophets will arise and deceive many. How do you know you're not deceived? And you might say, well, I know I'm not deceived because the Holy Spirit bears witness of the truth. Really? And how do you know you have the Holy Spirit? How do you know the spirit you have is the Holy Spirit and not a deceiving spirit? How do you know? Well, they'll say, well, I prayed to God. Which God? Which God did you pray to? The God of Mormonism? The God of the Book of Mormon? That's Mormonism. The God of Mormonism came from another planet. He has a goddess wife. If that's the God you're praying to, it's not the real God, then you're going to get a deception as an answer. Because in such a prayer, what you're doing inadvertently is committing sin. by praying to a false god, asking the false god to reveal truth to you. And you get a deception. You get a feeling. Because this is a spiritual battle. This is why God says, have no other gods before me. And you'll say, well, wait a minute, we do have God, the God of the Bible. No, you don't. The God of the Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. But in Mormonism, Elohim, that's God the Father, used to be a man in another world. You cannot be God from everlasting to everlasting and also not have been God from everlasting to everlasting. Because the God of Mormonism was not God from everlasting to everlasting, but he became a God. That's not the God of the Bible. In Mormonism, God is three separate gods. The Bible says there's only one God, Isaiah 43, 44, and 45. He doesn't even know of any other gods. And, you know, people, Mormons tell me, well, you know, the Bible says if you ask, you know, he'll give you the answer. Well, he says if you ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you. Wisdom is a proper use of knowledge. It doesn't mean to get revelation knowledge. It gives you, God gives you wisdom, not revelation about the truth of a book. See, they take that verse, James 1:5, out of context, and they misapply it. And they're putting their faith in Joseph Smith, who said that God the Father appeared to him. That's what Joseph Smith said. And so, if it's the case that Joseph Smith lied about that, if it was hypothetically the case that he was lying, then Mormonism is false. Because this is what it says, and I'm going to read to you 1 Timothy 6, 13, and I'll read it in the King James, 13, 14, 15, and 16. That's what it says. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who, before Pontius Pilate, witnessed a good confession, that thou keep his commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall shew, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen or can see. So, who dwells? He has immortality, dwelling in the light that you can't approach unto. No man has seen or can see. This is what it says about God, God the Father. Yet Joseph Smith said he saw God the Father. So you have to make a decision. Are you going to believe Joseph Smith, or are you going to believe the Word of God? Joseph Smith, incidentally, was involved in the occult, in necromancy, contacting the dead, in the spirits of the dead. A lot of Mormons don't know that, but it's true. It is true that he would do sorcery and do all kinds of mystical things in order to gain money. And the Mormon Church has polished the history and changed the history quite a bit. They polished and changed the Book of Mormon. It's been altered. And most Mormons have no clue. And what happens is they're told to trust the feelings and that the church is true and that the restoration of the gospel occurred, except that there was no apostasy. Mormonism says there was. Jehovah's Witnesses say there was an apostasy. Christian Science says there was an apostasy. Islam says there was an apostasy. And each one claims to be the restoration of the truth. The apostasy that's spoken of does occur. But it's spoken of in 2 Thessalonians 2. And you can understand it. What it's talking about is people saying the return of Christ has occurred. And he says in verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians, let no one in any way deceive you, for it, the apostasy, okay, or the return of Christ, that is, will not occur until the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed. Now these are related together, apostasy and the Antichrist. Antichrist isn't here, at least that we're aware of. And he certainly wasn't on the scene back in the 1830s when Joseph Smith said, oh, God appeared to me and gave me these golden plates. And from them, you know, from them I gave the Book of Mormon, which the Book of Mormon doesn't even have Mormonism in it. That's another thing. I can get into that, but you got to understand, folks, Mormonism is not Christian. It teaches a false god. That's a god that came from another planet, who has a goddess wife. He's about 6 feet tall, and he has physical relations with his wife in heaven and makes spirit babies. Brigham Young said, instead of letting any other man do it, God did it with Mary to produce the body of Jesus. This is what he said. It's in Journal of Discourses. It's on my website, documented. And Brigham Young said in the pulpit, in Journal of Discourses, volume 13, page 95, he says that whatever he said in the pulpit was as good as Scripture. Now, Brigham Young said that. He said that. So, is Mormonism true? No, it's not. It teaches a false God and a false Christ. Because in Mormonism, there's a pre-existence. We were all born as brothers and sisters in the pre-existence between God and his goddess wife, who came from another world. And then we inhabit human bodies, and if you become a good Mormon, you go to the temple after you get your temple recommend. And then you learn the handshakes and the hugs, and you get your underwear, and you get a new name, and hopefully you'll be able to become a god of your own planet. This is Mormonism, but it's certainly not Christianity. You see, Jesus says something really interesting in John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. That's what he says. They follow me. And it does not say that they'll follow anyone else, but that they'll follow Jesus. Because Jesus is the true shepherd. And so there are false shepherds out there. And the false shepherds are the ones that the cults and the people of Mormonism and stuff have followed. This is the metaphor that Jesus was speaking of. He says the false shepherds come in. He says, my sheep follow me. And Jesus says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. He didn't say, you're saved by grace through faith after all you can do. 2 Nephi 25, 23. He didn't say, as Moroni 10:32 says, that if you deny yourself of all ungodliness, then is God's grace sufficient for you. Works, 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 works. You see, that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus says, come to me. So I'm going to tell the Mormons here, if you're tired of the works you've got to do to be right with God, and you don't know if you have that assurance, and you're having doubts, you're not sure, do what they did in the Bible. They prayed to Jesus. Jesus says, ask me anything in my name and I will do it, John 14, 14. And the church in Corinth, for example, called upon the name of the Lord Jesus. That means he prayed to Christ. Ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. Ask him to reveal the truth about the Bible. Is it trustworthy? Ask Jesus to forgive you of all of your sins. Ask Jesus, just receive Jesus. Trust in what Jesus did. Your works aren't good enough. The works you do in Mormonism, never going to be good enough. You're trusting in what Joseph Smith invented, in your works, your baptism, the church attendance, your tithing, your temple attendance, and everything else, hoping you can make it. That's not what the scriptures teach. And for those who are hearing this, it's because God is calling you. He wants you to come to him. Go to Jesus, who said, whatever you ask, I'll do. Ask him to forgive you of all of your sins. Ask him to open your heart and your mind and see what happens. All right, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We've got a break. And please stay tuned. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. If you want to give me a call, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Daniel from Richmond, Virginia. Daniel, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
By God's grace, I'm doing okay. Hanging in there. Yep.
All right, all right. Me too. I have a question and a quick prayer request, if that would be all right afterwards.
Sure. Sure.
All right. Well, my question has to do with, like you were talking about earlier, the return of Jesus, the coming day of the Lord, starting the 14th chapter of Zechariah. Mm-hmm. And I specifically was thinking about the fourth verse, about his feet standing on the Mount of Olives.
Mm-hmm.
The feet spread, kind of very similar to Revelation chapter 10 with the angel and the little scroll. Is this the same thing, and is this Jesus?
You mean Revelation?
Revelation and the Zechariah from the Old Testament.
Well, it says a sky, in Revelation 6, it says a sky was split apart like a scroll. So I'm not sure what verse you're looking at in Revelation 10.
Oh, I'm Revelation chapter 10.
Yeah. Which verse in Revelation 10? Because it's a, you know, it's got...
I was just at the beginning when I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And...
yeah, I'm reading it. Uh-huh. And put his right foot on the sea and his left on the land, and seven peals of thunder, and a voice from heaven saying, seal these things up. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea, sworn by him, lives forever, created... I don't see anything in there that would lend me to the idea that it's the same event. Okay?
Okay. Because it was just, there was some similarity, and I hadn't read it a lot, but I was just wondering if it was talking about the same thing, and so you're pretty sure it's not.
Well, what I did during the break, because I had the notes, mm-hmm. you know, on the screen of what you wanted to talk about, so I went and I looked... I have a really totally cool Bible program, you know, Logos. It's just great. And it gives me cross-references. And I always look for things like, okay, let's see, it's in Revelation. And there aren't any. Not that it doesn't mean that there isn't any, but this Treasury of Scriptural Knowledge doesn't have any cross-references into Revelation. It has it into Nahum and Habakkuk and Mark. But
so it's, you know, around the same time, like it's last day's prophecy, but just not the same event? Or would you say it's a completely different and not last day's prophecy?
It's a last day's prophecy in Daniel 10.
Okay.
It is, because it's the return of Christ and a voice from heaven and the angel and And so I'm scanning through it. You must prophesy again concerning many nations and nations, tongues and kings. And then the two witnesses come. Then no one's given a measure like a rod. Yeah. And so it's certainly seen, Revelation 10:11 certainly is eschatological, and it certainly seems to be the case that the two witnesses are there about this time when this happens. So exactly what's the timeline of all of this? Well, we know that Jesus is going to return, and Zechariah 14:4 does prophesy that he'll put his foot down on the Mount of Olives and it's going to crack open. I heard a commentator once say that there was an earthquake fault right there in Mount of Olives. I've actually been to the Mount of Olives. And we walked through it, and it's a nice area. And the trees are 3 foot, you know, just diameter, and they're like 1,800 years old, or maybe even, I don't know, it's time of Christ. And so it's just really neat about going to Israel. But at any rate, so there's that. And so I've heard that this is the case, that the Mount of Olives will crack open because there's an earthquake, or they think it might. And as it says in Zechariah 14:4, in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half towards the south. Now that's interesting, because that means there's going to be a huge movement of land. And if it's going to happen there in the Mount of Olives, it's going to happen in through Jerusalem. There's going to be a lot of damage done. And so there's the talk about, in Revelation, about an earthquake. And it says in Revelation 11, for example, which is the next chapter over, and in that hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. Now, could that be the issue of the return of Christ? Okay.
So that might correlate more to the same thing. I mean, they're both talking about the same times, but maybe not the same event, like you were saying. But this might match a little bit more.
Yeah, and you'll notice that it's the two witnesses who are killed, because they were able to do some stuff people didn't like. Then they were killed, and the whole world rejoiced. And it says in verse 11 of Revelation 11, but after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came to them. And they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon all those who were watching them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. Then they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies watched them. And in that hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second one was
that could
passed.
Be the same time as Zechariah, but just over here.
Could be. And I'm going to tell you, okay. I am not an expert on Revelation. Maybe there are people who have just been studying it. They study it a lot, and they can say, well, that's close, Matt, but let me correct you on something. That's fine.
It's really hard to say no matter how yeah. much it seems, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not an expert such as you. I appreciate your show, everything you've done. A friend of mine, I guess it's been within the last 3 or 4 months around right near the holidays, called you about the COVID thing, and she ran a medical practice right here in Richmond. Her name was Darlene, and she had a lot mm-hmm. of facts. I don't know if you would remember her. But
I talked to a lot of people who have talked about COVID, and what I tell people is they can go to wonder.cdc.gov, and just wonder, it's the CDC website, wonder.cdc.gov, and what you can do then is, let's see, V-A-E-R, there's a way to find the reports, but if you just do /VAERS.html, then you can go to their, it's called the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, about the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And that's what the VAERS is, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And so you can get data from the CDC website. And I actually have an article on how to do this on CARM. You can go to CARM /COVID and you can read. And so, long story short, all the vaccines from the 1960s and up, from all sicknesses, all the vaccines that have been invented in order to help people, and they help. Vaccines help. There are some side effects occasionally, and some people suffer. I understand that. But the overwhelming result is that a great many people are helped. I'm not against vaccines. So all the vaccines combined, excluding COVID, since the 1960s, there have been like 9,000 deaths reported to all the vaccines, and I mean a lot of them, since the 60s. We're talking 60 years. And all vaccines combined, excluding COVID, there's been 9,000 reported deaths associated with receiving a vaccine. And the number of deaths reported connected with the COVID vaccine in just 2 years is 13,000. 13,000. Just the one vaccine of COVID, all four of them, the main ones combined. And you're not going to get me to take it.
I haven't had any of them either. Something Chuck Christmeyer said about graphite and antibodies had me scared. But I guess she didn't ring a bell for that. But she did a lot of good in the community, and she was tragically mm-hmm. killed by a distracted driver hitting her car. And I just wanted for you and our listeners to pray for her husband, Ed Olive. And also, we had a couple other deaths within the last couple of months. The family of Robert Waller, he left behind a daughter, wife, and granddaughter. And Vinny Achenbach and Willie Williams, please, if you don't mind, sir.
Okay. So sorry that two people passed away. But about the COVID stuff, I've done a lot of research on it, and I would physically defend myself rather than receive the COVID vaccine.
Oh, yeah, she was very much the same way. It was just, it was really tragic that she was taken so soon, and a big part of our Bible study here. But God, in Jesus' name, I would pray that all those people affected by these deaths would be comforted. And that you would do what only you know how to do. Thank you, God.
Okay.
And thank you for answering your questions, Matt, and doing what you do. And one thing, when you're talking, you could turn the volume up on your output level on the radio, because
how's that?
you're just so kind and speak gently, and the ads are a lot louder than you.
Yeah, the ads are. Well, let me try something here. This is my output. I don't know if it's going to affect that at all. Can you hear me any better right now?
Oh, well, I'm on the telephone. I'm away from my radio. But, yeah, I can hear you just fine over the telephone.
Oh,
but just on the radio, I've noticed
okay.
that I do appreciate the way you speak. But you could turn it up a little bit.
Yeah, others have said they have trouble hearing us. And callers and stuff like that in the radio. So, yeah, it's one of things that remind me. I wanted to talk to the engineers about that. So, yep, I've heard that. And I do talk softly sometimes. And my voice is deeper than most. So, it gets buried in road noise when you're on the radio.
Yeah,
the radio.
And you're super smart. So sometimes you talk quickly. But I'm not nitpicking you. God bless you. You do a lot more than you know for people. Thank you very much, Mr. Slick.
Well, thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate that.
All right. Yeah, man.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay. All right, let's just jump over to Vicki from Raleigh, North Carolina. Vicki, welcome. You are on the air.
Yes, sir. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's easy, and I'll try to speak slow so you can understand me. Okay. I know I speak fast sometimes. When somebody dies, like in my mind, I picture, you always think, oh, you know, you would picture them being in heaven with their new body and stuff, but that's not really the way it works, is it, timing-wise? I mean,
right.
Are we just with them in spirit until the rapture?
Yes. Very good.
But then I know that those two prophets, whoever it was that returned with Christ before he ascended, there were two guys that ascended into heaven with him, but they were in their bodies, so...
I don't know what two guys you're talking about. Which two guys? There's Elijah and Enoch, and then there's the two witnesses of Revelation 11, so I'm not sure which two.
I think the two that ascended with Christ into heaven. When he
there aren't
was,
any.
He,
no,
after
no,
he
there,
returned,
there,
after he was resurrected,
no,
and he was
no,
resurrected,
no, no, no,
and then he ascended into heaven.
There were not. Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. There weren't any. When Jesus ascended into heaven, you're talking about the first time, right? He ascended into heaven. That's the only
yes.
one. There was, nobody went with him. It was just him.
Oh, I'm really confused then. Okay. I need to start listening to somebody good who gives me the right information, because obviously you haven't taught me appropriately.
Well, you know, you've got to understand that there are times when I make my mistakes, that's for sure. I don't claim to have all the answers, and I'm certainly open to being corrected, but I've just not ever seen anything that I remember in Scripture that says when Jesus, after his resurrection, ascended into heaven, that there were two people with him. Okay? So it didn't happen. All right? Well, there's the music. That's all right. That's all right. We'll figure it out. All right, Vicki. Well, God bless.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, bye. Hey, folks, we are out of time. May the Lord bless you. By His grace, we're back on the air. Now, tonight I'm teaching on Catholicism on Clubhouse. You can find it on your phone, the Clubhouse app, and look for my name. Look for Catholicism. You'll find it. God bless, everybody. It's 9 p.m. tonight, Eastern time.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.